The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. Another bright Sunday. Welcome to We the People Talk Radio.
It's not another bright Sunday.
Well, in my heart it is.
No.
But in my mind.
But it's our one-year anniversary.
Yes, yes. Today is a very special day. We have been on the air exactly one year. And I think last year on October 2nd, that was a Sunday.
Yeah.
So and, I think
and
it's
you know
exactly
what? We've been,
one year.
Kicking some butt on this show.
We have.
And
we
you know
have.
How we know?
How?
Because you're on crutches. Because you broke your foot.
I am. Yeah. We're a real pair today. Erin's trying not to get sick because she's a regular bronchitis sufferer and asthma sufferer every winter. And I broke my foot yesterday. So I've got crutches and my foot's up on a garbage can. But that doesn't stop us.
No. So we brought supervision into the studio with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to tell you both to break a leg today, but that would be redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be.
Oop, too late.
So you are with your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward, Erin Ryan, Bob Martin, our great sound engineer. And our very special guests today, Chris Reinhardt and Cameron Gamble. And we're going to talk about Project Taken. But first, I want to let you know the phone number to call, 530-605-4567. We're always chatting and streaming live. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. Join our chat room. It's always very lively, pretty entertaining on most days. And everything you need to know about Cameron Gamble and Project Taken will be on the media page if you go to that website.
Yeah, let's see what's on there. Hold on. Well, there's his picture right there, and it looks just like him.
Good morning.
One of the few people who actually puts a picture that looks just like him on the website.
Yeah, most of our speakers are a little older than you, yeah. And they put a picture when they were as young as you.
Yeah, you look and you're like, wait a minute, that's not that guy.
At least it, not anymore. But it is you.
It is.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we're really excited about the program we're going to have today with Cameron, because if you don't know, yesterday was D-Day. This is when they started releasing prisoners. Out of the state institutions because they're overcrowded or they're not getting good enough health care or whatever their reasons are, budget issues. I don't know. There's a myriad of...
Well, it was the courts.
Yeah.
The courts said that our prisons were inhumane, that we had too many people stuffed in there.
Yeah. So they
But it was prison, so we were thinking, sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or pink pajamas.
Yeah, either way. So they decided to release them back on us. So in your communities throughout the state of California, beginning yesterday, over the next couple of years, I think it's 43,000 they're going to be releasing.
But it's not, and it's not so much that it's kind of like throw the doors open,
right.
You know, be free. It's more, now all the, I should look that article up, the article they had on the Record Searchlight that listed the things that were considered non-serious, non-sexual, non... violent.
Yeah.
That was it. Non-serious, non-sexual, non-violent. And so now they don't have to go to prison for it. And one of them was like kidnapping a child and selling him into slavery. I'm like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't qualify for prison.
There was about 40 or 50.
So I'm thinking breaking into my car doesn't qualify for prison if you can sell children, you know?
That's minor indiscretion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's happening now in the great state of California, the Golden State.
So it's all about watching your gold and paying attention.
Yeah. So Cameron Gamble has a incredible background in the military, and you know, I might actually give you a little synopsis on his background. We're going to talk a little bit about his military experience. Actually,
let's make him do it.
I'm going to let him do it. He's sipping his coffee here. I think he's hoping that we'll just go ahead and read the bio while he sits back and enjoys. But, Naya, you're on.
No, I really enjoyed just watching you two. I didn't know I had a speaking part today.
Yeah, we want to get a video cam in
here. Well, it's radio, so, you know, your acting part's pretty much on hold.
Well, we're really glad you're here. And, you know, we found Cameron. We heard about his program through Chris Reinhardt, who has Reinhardt Media, and you do a lot of marketing. And Chris is printing our business cards for We the People Radio, and he mentioned that he knew somebody that we thought we might want to hook up with, and he had a great program to share, and the rest was history. So the more I hear, the more I read, the more I like. So, Cameron, tell us who you are, and I'm really fascinated by your military experience.
Well, that's probably a good place to start then. I joined the military after September 11th, shortly after September 11th. I was working for the airlines. Here in Reading.
Oh, you were?
I was, yes. And when the security guards, the National Guard, came in to help with security. These individuals started talking to me about the military, and I was really, really impressed by who they were and what they represented. So I started looking into the military and knew that I just, I just felt like I needed to do something for my country, and the rest is history in terms of signing up. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to fly. It's one of my first passions. So went into the recruiter's office and said, this is the job I want, and when can I go? And he said 6 months, and that sounded great to me, and it ended up being within 48 hours I left.
No kidding.
I was gone. Wow.
That was a quick 6 months.
It was.
And that's the Air Force, right?
That's the Air Force. Okay. Yeah, so I went in the Air Force.
Now, did you go in as an enlisted man?
I did,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Went in as an enlisted aviator is what I was.
Oh, okay.
So I had the chance to fly mainly with officers. The KC-10 aircraft was the aircraft I was on.
Now, KC-10, what is... I have a nephew in the Air Force. He flies the C-130s. What does a KC-10 do?
KC-10 is an in-flight refueler as well as cargo. So when when you look up and you see the two planes almost colliding, that's they're giving exchanging fuel. That's what I did.
Okay.
And from that point, I had to go through a lot of training in order to be able to do that job. And probably the neatest training I had the opportunity to go through was in Fairchild Air Force Base in Spokane, Washington. And that's the Air Force's survival school. And I went through this 21-day program. They teach us how to live off the land, bring us up to Canada, the border of Canada, drop us off, and we survive out in the woods for several days without food, and all the while being chased by Air Force role players who are playing enemies, and they chase us through the woods and eventually capture us as part of the program. You kind of have to be captured no matter how well you do. And they bring you into a prison camp and exploit the living daylights out of you.
Yeah.
And the point of it is to show you your need for training. There's really not much you can do at that point to do well because you just don't know. And you know, that's the problem with anybody dealing with a captivity situation. We look at them and we judge them and we say, well, why didn't they do this or why didn't they do that? They just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the kind of the beginning of it. But very fascinated with the program. Got out of the military. And I was asked to go to work for a company that did that very thing. As a matter of fact, the instructors that put me through this prison camp were instructors that I went to work with later on. And initially, I was hesitant. Psychologically, there's a lot that goes on in being exploited and going through the process of interrogation, torture, indoctrination. These things, you know, they were obviously an issue for a lot of people to handle. And that's why they put you through it, to make sure that you can before you go fly. So I accepted the offer, and I went to work at the Army down in Fort Rucker. They had just started a SEER school, and that was kind of the beginning of the Army's SEER school for their regular aviators, because they'd already had their SEER school for their special forces in Fort Bragg.
And tell people what SEER is.
SEER is Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape.
Okay.
And you'll hear it commonly referred to in movies. People will talk about SEER training, did this... a movie's revolving around captivity. Did this individual have SEER training or not? And so the Army is where I went, and I stayed there for a couple years.
You worked with the Army Rangers, right?
I did, yes. Army Rangers, as well as a lot of Army Special Forces, came through there as pipeline students. They would come to us, and if they couldn't go through the course, they couldn't fly. Now, the Rangers and the Special Forces were already certified, mission ready. They were just missing the piece of SEER. And that's just kind of, just to show you how important it is. Our men and women cannot deploy unless they have that piece. That's how critical it is to survival. That happened in 2005, 2006, and I remained down at that SEER school for about 3 years.
Okay.
3.5 years.
Okay.
And during that time, I was on a mobile training team and had the amazing opportunity to work with the State Department in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And don't you still do that? I think you said you fly back once a month?
Currently, I work with just the Navy SEALs.
SEALs. Okay.
Yeah. And that came about later on. After I had left the SEER school there, I went to work at the Marine Special Operations Command SEER school. And that's in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it, too, was a very new school. And, you know, MARSOC, our Marine Special Operators, they're not nearly as common as, in terms of people knowing who they are, as the Navy SEALs or the Special Forces. But nonetheless, they're a phenomenal community of special operators. And they have a great SEER program. And I went to work there training those guys. And from there, that's when it was kind of odd. I was working in a survival community, teaching people how to resist exploitation, when I was approached by the Special Forces community to create a program for them to, I guess, you know, for lack of better terms, how to exploit. But the issue was, in 2006, 2007, and even earlier, we had waterboarding incidents, we had Abu Ghraib, we had Guantanamo Bay, all these issues with torture, and is it acceptable, is it not?
When you're in that industry.
And yeah. I am. And,
yeah.
And,
interesting.
And it is, you know, at the time it was getting a lot of bad light in terms of the level of expertise that the SEER community was offering the CIA or the FBI for their interrogation techniques, because the SEER community knows it and they know it well. So there had to be a clear line drawn between SEER and interrogation and exploitation in the real world. What people had a tough time understanding is that we're training our men and women how to resist what our enemy does to us. We know that they do these things to us. So why can't we teach our men and women how to resist that? The problem was when we took it and started using it in other places, then there was some bad light on it.
Yeah, they can do it, but we can't.
Right.
That's pretty standard. That's sure. Kind of standard operating procedure.
Yeah, and what had taken place during that time was the Special Forces community was getting a lot of bad light, and they, they don't want that, obviously, but they were going and extracting information overseas and doing whatever is necessary to extract the information. And all of a sudden, their hands are tied behind their backs. It's put out by the president. You will no longer extract information with coercive measures, so figure out a different way of doing business. They don't know how.
But by the way, be prepared for them to do it to you, because they're going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play by different rules.
Yeah, obviously.
So they came to our community and said, how do we do this? And I wrote a program for them, and it was basically how to extract information without the use of coercive measures. Get rid of all of the techniques that we use to extract information, and just use our minds. How do we use our minds? So I built this program for the Special Forces. It took about 3 months. And they looked at it and said, no thanks. That's all right, because the Navy SEALs picked it up the next day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Which was very surprising. So from that point, I started training the Navy SEALs with that out of Little Creek in Virginia.
Okay. And so that's where you still go every month?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. And you fly back? You there just for a weekend? Or?
It's usually 4 days.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Interesting.
Excellent. So basically, your whole military career, and then consequently your private work, you're basically working for military contractors.
Yes.
It's all been in survival, preparedness, evading capture, how to deal with stressful situations, how to avoid them, how to recognize them.
And then once you get captured, what to do.
How to have acute awareness of your surroundings.
Right.
The whole bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Awareness is number one, and avoidance. And then, worst-case scenario, survival and escape.
Okay. Okay.
I like that. Escape. That should be at the beginning. So, Bob, how are we doing? Do we have a fun music clip coming up here?
Oh, we do.
Oh, Bob. We said, okay, now we need some music for Project Taken, so we got to have some music about capture and stuff like that. So, we're not sure what kind of music Bob's come up with, but we're going to learn in the next couple hours here. So, we're going to take our first break and thank our advertisers here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Line is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, because I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch, but maybe showers remind me of psycho tumor. That's why
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Another incredible surprising selection from Bob, the engineer. Welcome back to We the People Radio. If you didn't pick up on the little hints from the music, we are talking all things Project Taken, how to avoid, recognize, be aware of your surroundings, avoid capture, avoid being abducted, avoid being attacked.
And so people are like, okay, they're getting kind of paranoid. So, okay, tell us, Cameron,
really.
how many people are getting abducted out there?
Yeah, what are the stats?
Yeah, since we've been here this morning, I think we've been here for 20 minutes. So two people in America, they're gone. Whether that be a child or an adult, they're gone.
And they're not missing.
No, they're
they're missing, but they're abducted.
Yeah, there's a big difference between gone missing and being abducted. And
are those the stats that are reported, or is that just, I mean, that must be.
That's just reported.
Yeah.
So we're going, you know, stats are based off of what we understand is people reporting in, calling in. I guarantee it's more than that.
Yeah.
I guarantee it is.
Because there's tons of people that don't, I mean, there are people who don't have family,
mm-hmm.
that are by themselves. So, you know, you've got people live on the streets and stuff like that. So if somebody snatched them, nobody would say.
Yeah. Additionally, we have individuals who are so scared, family-wise, you contact the police,
oh.
we're going to kill them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
We don't get to hear about those very often.
Given your military experience, and you've made it a segue into the private sector, mm-hmm. and you realize there's a need to take what you learned in the military onto the streets of the general public, how did that whole idea come about?
It started 2006, 2007. At my church, we had missionaries coming through, and they were these individuals who were, no kidding, in very hostile areas of the world. And zero training whatsoever. So when they would come through our church, very small church, I asked our pastor, I said, do you mind if I sit down with these people and educate them? And the first family I educated was a family that's just went across the Mexican border into Monterrey, Mexico this past year. And I told my wife at the time, I said, this is what I want to do, whether it's with missionaries or individuals, those who cannot receive the training, the level of training that we give the military, they need it. They deserve it. And if you look at the statistics, there are more civilians being captured than there are military folk.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not trained.
Right. Well, not only that, we do a very good job of protecting our military overseas.
Well, they travel in packs.
They do. And
by ourselves.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Good point.
And a much smaller target on the military in terms of abduction than there is everyday civilians.
So they would be more like captured. You know, I mean, that would
be abducted.
Yeah, they're not just, you know, one day sleeping in their army barracks and then they're gone. I mean, this is like they're out in a combat situation and they get snagged by the enemy.
Right.
However, we're at the grocery store
mm-hmm.
and snagged by the enemy that we didn't even see in the parking lot.
Yeah, and you know, military as well, when they're in combat or when they're in that frame of mind, they are paying attention a lot more than we are.
Sure.
And they're especially when they're overseas, they know that this is not a comfortable place for me. I need to pay attention to my surroundings.
Now, when you came to our Tea Party meeting on Monday night, you rattled off a whole bunch of statistics. Can you do that again? Because I remember here, and I'm sure there's like
we forgot already.
Because you know and since we've been here, it's like 2, 3, 4 people that had been abducted somewhere. But what were the statistics that you? That you shared with all of the people on Monday night, because they were really startling.
Yeah, and again, these statistics are just based on cases that have been reported. So
okay.
We can't even tap into what has not been reported. We just don't know. So the number is far greater. But in America, over 600 women are raped every day. It's about 28 an hour that's raped here in the U.S.
Holy cow.
It's ridiculous if you think about it. So we've been in here 25 minutes and...
Yeah.
How many women have been raped just in America?
Yeah.
1.2 Americans every 10 minutes are abducted. And again, that's not missing. That is kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just a couple. I mean,
wow, that's just
3.4 million women are stalked every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to stalking, also the important thing to understand is that it's just not women. It's equally across the board, men and women.
Right,
and I spoke
to
an individual this week. He said, "Yeah, I've had two stalkers in the last several years, and one of them was escorted by security out of a building one time because they got too close to me."
Wow!
Yikes!
Now, so, Project Taken, how did that come about? The website is absolutely wonderful, and again, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, go to our media page, you'll see the link to the website and all the information about Cameron and Project Taken, but. The website's very well done, and you actually have video clips of individuals who have had problems who've been stalked or attacked to kind of illustrate what can happen. And you've got case histories. You've got stories of people. And the one that I watched, it was really interesting because it showed a young girl that was abducted and they kind of went back. You went back in time a little bit.
Is that the parking garage gal?
No, I don't think so. But you
there's
showed
one in the parking garage.
But
yes,
that's her.
But
yeah.
Oh, it is. And
yeah.
You showed how she had originally come to be abducted because she had, without even realizing it, passed a man on a stairwell and basically didn't give him the time of day, not realizing that offended him.
Yeah, and
I mean, it was so innocent. She didn't even know what she was doing.
Right, and that's it just boils down to not paying attention. And that video, it depicts a young girl, but really Project Taken is for families.
Mm-hmm.
So when people watch that, they need to understand that we're showing an aspect of what can happen to a family member. It's not just driven for women.
Right.
And the point of that, we wanted to demonstrate you don't pay attention. Even when you bump into somebody, you don't pay attention to how they're perceiving you, mm-hmm. and the undue attention you're drawing to yourself. And in addition to that, let's just say that you do bump into somebody, and for whatever reason, you've set off triggers in them. I want to go after this person. I'm going to follow them. All they're doing is sitting back and watching your pattern of life and finding when you're the most vulnerable. And that video was intended for that. Look, she's not paying attention. Here's all the reasons why. And you can see it as the viewer. You watch it and say, hey, here's that same guy. You're walking right past the same guy. Mm. Why aren't you paying attention? And why are you in a parking garage by yourself at whatever time of day or night?
Yeah.
And the point of it also was to show you're going to get yourself in a very bad situation if you don't first let us train you.
Mm-hmm.
And does that apply to everybody? Yes, it does. Because senior citizens, little children.
Anybody who's vulnerable.
Everybody is vulnerable when you're not paying attention.
Yeah,
because people think oftentimes it's just kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I would imagine that the group that thinks they need this the least is probably men. Especially, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily older men, but probably younger guys probably figure, hey, you know what, I'm good to go.
Yeah, the video testimonials we have of former students going through, there's two men that are on there, and I put them on there for a reason, because they both say that very thing. Here I was thinking, well, I'm a man, mm-hmm. I can handle this situation, but you really don't know until you're put in that situation, and that's the beauty of Project Taken. We actually put them in that situation so they can deal with it. And they realize how vulnerable they really are in that situation if they're not doing the right things.
And so your training covers families, kids going off to college, because there's a lot of crime on college campuses these days.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Last week, I don't know if you had seen the headlines at Chico.
Mm-hmm.
Two Chico State students on separate occasions within a week time were attempted abductions. 6 o'clock in the morning, this individual is driving down the street, sees the girl either walking or jogging. Gets out, pepper sprays her in the face.
Get out!
Tackles her to the ground, tries to stuff her in the car. Both girls got away. This is just last week in Chico.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Creepy. Well, and I'm sorry, if we were going to talk about somewhere where awareness was fairly low.
Yeah.
College campus.
Sure.
It is. It really is. And
nobody's looking at stuff like that.
No.
Yeah, we plan to infiltrate the school system with this as much as we can.
Yeah, I've heard the crime is just incredibly high. I mean, you send your kids off to college thinking they're going to have the time of their lives, not realizing that you're putting them in danger.
Well, 1 out of 5 college-age women will have a sexual attack, an unwanted sexual attack, just in their college years.
Wow. 1 out of 2.
1 out of 5.
1 out of 5.
1 out of 5.
I just saw the 2-minute sign from Bob with 2 minutes till our next break. So sorry, I was confusing my numbers there.
It's your foot.
You know, I'm glad that
she's got her foot up on the little garbage can here.
I do.
You know what? They could abduct Elizabeth in a half a second because
really
it's going to take her 15 minutes to get out of this room.
I'll just beat them with my crutches.
There you go. But they're aluminum, you know.
They're
rubber ends.
I know.
Not even going to hurt.
I'm going to have to work on that. I have to go get some old-fashioned wooden ones with pointy spikes on
there
the end.
There you go.
So Project Taken came about because you decided with the missionaries from your church that you wanted to educate them before they left.
Yeah, that was the beginning of it.
Okay.
And as I gathered more skill sets, I guess you could say, in terms of training military and looking at the statistics of what's happening in America, it became a more of a, this is something I need to go forward and do. With civilians, and how do I bring that level of training, or better, because I don't want to boast, but I think our program is pretty amazing.
Well, just looking at the website, I mean, I was fascinated, and it's clean, and it's easy to follow, but it's very profound.
Well, most of the stuff they tell you about this kind of thing is like really super simplistic, or you have to be a martial arts expert. Right. And who's got time to go do that?
Right.
I mean, really. And most people are not. That's not natural for them.
No.
Well, so they're not going to use it anyway.
The majority of the content that's on the not on our website, but out on the internet in terms of what to do or what not to do is very generic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no substance behind it. And also, it's mostly geared towards going overseas, traveling overseas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm. And most of us spend more time here. So, all right, we're going to spend more time here. How about 2 minutes and thank our advertisers? We'll be back with Cameron. I would encourage you to get on to wethepeopleradio.us, click on listen, jump on the chat room, read the page there, and get familiar with this, because we'd like you to call in if you have questions. We'd like you to write into us on the chat room if you have comments or don't feel like using your phone, just want to write in a question. That's cool. And we will share those. We're actually paying attention to the chat room today. I thought I'd let you know. Sometimes we get all carried away and we forget. But
yeah.
we're on it today. So you're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR. We'll be back in 2 minutes here at the home of Free Fire Media.
Head down to
join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do?
Welcome back to We the People Radio, another great selection by Bob the Engineer. We are talking to Cameron Gamble from Project Taken.
That's the theme from Cops, in case you didn't know.
Oh,
we liked it.
That's cool. That was awesome. Isn't it nice that you and Bill don't have to sit up late at night doing the music anymore? Aaron?
Especially, you know, it's like, okay, we have a program on, like, abduction and
I know
stuff.
You
like,
loved it, but
what are we
going
to do, you know?
Bob has just stepped in and taken over the job.
Yeah, love it.
So we're talking to...
Besides, it's funny. I like the funny part.
Was.
That's my favorite part.
You don't have to be twisted to do this job, but it helps.
Yeah.
And if you're old enough to know the music from the 70s and 80s, you have a lot more to choose from.
Much bigger universe. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Cameron Gamble from Project Taken, he's taken his military expertise in survival and preparedness and avoiding capture and transcended into the public sector to help families with children, kids going off to college, missionaries going overseas, you name it. If you're anywhere and you need to learn how to be safe, be aware, know what's going on in your surroundings, he's the guy. So, Cameron, when we were off air, you were saying that as wonderful as this program is, you need the support of the public.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the public brings an awareness to the public. Mm-hmm. They really do. So, like I was saying, I can have this wonderful idea. Chris can help me put it into action. Unless we have the support of individuals like you and your listeners to tell people about this, it'll just go unnoticed. It really will. And why wouldn't we, as a community, especially here in Reading, want this thing to work?
Exactly. Now, so what's your feel for society at large right now? Do you feel that it's less safe, less dangerous? You know, are the numbers higher because we've got more people? I mean, what's your take on safety in the general public right now?
Well, I don't think it's been safe. What we've seen in terms of numbers going down have been has a lot more to do with our ability to communicate better with cell phones or internet with our families. So there's not as many reported missing as there were a few years ago, but nonetheless, the larger our number, the numbers are larger.
Yeah.
So that there's going to be more crime. There just is, and we're not getting any better in terms of grabbing this thing and fixing it.
Well, and you know, with budget cuts and, and less policemen on the streets, less sheriff's deputies, I mean, the fact of
money,
the matter
let's
is...
Let's just face it, money getting tight.
Absolutely.
So we have a lot of people getting a little bit more into the element of victimizing other people than we
because
have
they
had
can.
In a while. That part is actually increasing alongside these other factors. It isn't just, you know, it isn't just our budget and our state. It's other stuff, too.
And I think it's critical, more than ever, that we begin to take responsibility for ourselves and learn to keep ourselves safe and rely on ourselves, our neighbors, our friends.
Well, because, you look at foreign countries. Yeah. Like, look at Israel. Those guys do a great job of training their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely aware. I mean, now you think about it, just real basic stuff. Like if somebody, you know, they've done this a million times, put a suitcase on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They put a, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so do you know the stats on that?
I don't know the stats, but I guarantee if it was put on our street, people would just walk around it and ignore it.
Yeah, they put like, leave a backpack leaning up against a bus stop, you know, and they'll have, you know, hundreds of people, they count, you know, hundreds of people walk right by it. It could be anything. We're just not, I don't think it's a, I don't think it's paranoid. I really think it's just an element of paying attention.
It is. I mean, that's the point of this training is to identify the things that are out of the ordinary. Why?
Yeah.
We stop questioning things. I don't know when it was, but it was a while back. We stopped questioning things here in America.
Well, we've been so pampered and so safe and so secure and so comfortable for so long. We take a lot for granted.
But there's also the political correctness that plays a huge part because most people. You know, you read this all the time. They got in the elevator and then this guy got in and they felt kind of creepy, but then
they
were kind of embarrassed because they thought, well, you know, he's probably nice. I don't know why I feel creepy. They ignore it. And then the guy, you know, clobbers him and they're like, oh yeah.
But aren't your instincts the greatest tool you've got?
They are. I mean,
we know. I mean, we should know. We've dumbed that down.
We know when we're paying attention, what's right and what's wrong. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to rely on our senses to do that. Like I was explaining on Monday night, our senses are what keeps us aware and keeps us safe. And our senses allow us to observe first and foremost so that we can identify what is normal because we know what is normal. But the second things are out of place, we have to question it. So when there's a guy in the elevator who gives us a creepy, weird feeling, guess what? My safety and my family's safety is worth more than being politically correct.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Or somebody's walking out to a parking lot, and there's a guy walking right behind him, and they're like, well, you know, I shouldn't be paranoid. No!
He just wants money, maybe.
You shouldn't be paranoid. I mean, you know.
Don't you think there's also an element that we've been bombarded by so much weirdness from every direction?
That that's true.
Nothing phases us anymore. We just kind of tune it out.
Yeah, that's true. Three earrings in your nose and your eyebrow is chained to your wallet and your hair sticking straight. I know, it's like, I'm sure it's just a college student.
But the PC, you know, the PC is has been the death of us. I mean, it's just incredibly insane.
Women. I would think women more than men, the political correctness, because they feel like it's mean to make that judgment.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, coming from living in the South for the last 6 years, back to Reading, there are things that stuck out to my family that were like sore thumbs. And we looked at the amount of people that are on the street just asking for money or the amount of people walking down the street that have no business just walking down the street, like this morning outside of your studio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you all, in terms of this area, we're very accustomed to seeing those things, so we kind of put them out of our mind. Sometimes it takes us to step back a minute and go, okay, what is right and what is wrong? Mm-hmm. What is ordinary and what is out of the ordinary? Now, that's ordinary for this area, but that doesn't mean that you ignore it.
No.
Yeah, that's true. What's ordinary and what's okay or what's not going to be a factor for you? Yeah,
now,
that's true.
Now, you've got 4 kids.
I do.
Under the age of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And as a family, you know, we talked earlier about a good age for children to be taught safety and awareness. And you have seminars and classes and workshops. And it's not always best to bring the younger kids in. But your family is aware because that's what you do for a living. You know, talk about some of the situations that your family has been in and what your kids have noticed. Because you had mentioned some things on Monday night. You know, you had a son that noticed that some things were not normal or not correct that most kids probably wouldn't pick up on.
Yeah, my kids definitely have a heightened sense of awareness due to the nature of their dad's business, which is not a bad thing at all.
No.
But at a very young age, from 8 years old down to my 9 month old. Obviously, the two smaller don't understand nearly as well as the 7 year old or 6 year old and 8 year old.
Right.
They get it. They get it because it's what I teach them. It's what my wife and I practice. And when you stop practicing awareness, they're not going to learn that. So your kids mimic you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have good habits of paying attention, they're going to have good habits of paying attention. And, yeah, my kids are always paying attention. Coming home from school with stories of I think it was on Friday, my son said, "Hey, Dad, your daughter was talking to this individual's dad. I've never heard of this guy. I don't know why. But he picked up on that. That's not right. That's out of the ordinary." Got the full story. Understood why the dad was at the school, why he was talking to my daughter, and it made sense. But nonetheless, my son is still aware that these things are taking place, and it's out of the ordinary.
Sure,
an adult male that he does not know should not be speaking with his sister.
Oh, very good.
And how many times is somebody missing, and then they track it back, and they go, mm-hmm. "Well, we saw her talking to this man,"
and nobody,
and the brother's like, "Well, I saw that happen." You know, that's cool.
Yeah, and my kids are great at immediate. It's not, mm-hmm. "Hey, this happened yesterday, the day before. Hey, Dad, this just happened."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's critical for, you know, reporting and paying attention to what's going on. I read a report about a girl who's been missing since, I think it was February, and the neighbor saw a man leading her away out into the woods and reported it 4 days later.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Gosh, because that would have been perfectly normal.
Yeah, right? That looks really normal.
And so, you know, people don't want to get involved. Mm-hmm. And
it's their business.
Oh man. There's a lot of that going on.
How safe are the schools?
Oh, my goodness. Depends on the school, mm-hmm. for sure. And it depends on the parents that mm-hmm. bring their kids to school. What I've noticed, there's a trend with parents who actually take an active interest in their child's education is also going to take an active interest in their safety. Mm-hmm. Now, if the parents are more aware, the school system as a whole is more aware.
Okay.
And there's a vibe that teachers put off. A lot of teachers are kind of laid back or chaotic because they have 35 students in their class, and they become complacent, and they're not nearly as aware. So the kids, again, are going to mimic what they're seeing. But our school system is it's not safe at all.
No.
There's way too much going on.
Do you have plans? Because I know that your plans for Project Taken are to go nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in the future of that program, a curriculum that will be written or a program developed that you can take into the schools?
Yes.
That's appropriate for the ages that are attending?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of this program. You get to customize it for whoever's in front of you, whatever mm-hmm. they look like, whatever shape, size, or form. And so we plan on going to the college campuses. Mm-hmm. We're planning on going to the high schools and the grade schools.
Great.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the school thing. I don't think I've got questions, but Bob's flashing us the sign here. So we're going to take a quick break. Thank our advertisers here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Okay, folks, I don't know how we make this particular topic funny today, but that music's hilarious. Welcome back to We the People. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. Join the chat room. It's hilarious.
That's one of our North State residents, by the way, Mr. Haggard.
Ah, yes.
Thanks,
Merle Haggard. Yeah, that was a great song. So we're talking about safety for your family, for your kids, no matter where you are, overseas, on U.S. soil. And we've got Cameron Gamble from Project Taken.
That way you don't meet any of the people that are in these songs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Learn how to be aware and keep your family safe. So we were talking about schools,
mm-hmm.
and you were mentioning that you will have a program developed to take to the schools.
Yeah, and not just for the kids. It's for the staff as well, which mm-hmm. I think is...
You got to start there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the starting point, because if they don't understand the concepts behind why their kids are being aware or the questions they're asking them, then it's kind of pointless. And that we've noticed that with our kids in their school. our kids have a great accountability system and buddy system with each other and their friends, but the teachers didn't quite understand that concept until we explained it to them. Here's why my kids are coming to you and saying they will not go to the, you know, down to the office without a buddy or to the bathroom without a buddy. My kids have, again, a heightened sense of awareness, but the teachers didn't understand that concept, so they have to be trained first.
So for all the people that just said, oh, that's great, his kids are totally paranoid now. Okay, so what? How do we counter that?
Well, there's a big difference between paranoia and awareness. Yeah. And education.
Yeah.
A big difference. And
in fact, awareness and education eliminate paranoia.
They do. They do, yeah.
So for kids, what's the, you know, because people live in, you know, I think, constant fear that their kids are going to be abducted.
And it's actually the number one fear of parents. There was a survey done by, I think it was Princeton University, and that was the number one fear of parents that they told their pediatricians, my child being abducted, over any cancer or any health-related issue. That's the number one.
Well, and so what typically happens is they don't let them out of their sight. Well, that's real nice and everything, but so the first time that they make an independent decision is behind the wheel of your car.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's really not a good setup.
No, that's a great point. Do I have 100% accountability of my kids at all time? No. I have to trust in my God that they're going to be taken care of. And if the worst case scenario happens, I'm doing everything I can to train them for that situation. But there has to be independence with children, but they need to know how to act when they're being independent.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if they learn how to do it as a, you know, it's like anything else. You do it enough, you're good at it. So if they get the hang out of how to pay attention and know what's a good situation, what's a bad situation, then when they're 16 years old and they turn into an idiot, regardless of your training, you know, maybe some of the stuff you drummed into them younger will actually work as instincts.
Right.
Is that kind of the idea?
It is. I mean, I explained it Monday night in the smaller group when we broke off. I think it was the survival and preparedness class.
Yes, correct.
The Marines, they know how to shoot guns. They know how to shoot guns in their sleep because that's what they do.
When I was repetition.
Repetition. When I was at Camp Lejeune, the first sign you see when you come onto base, it says, every Marine's a rifleman. The next sign said, one shot, one kill. So they're being indoctrinated as to how to shoot weapons and shoot them well. I'm not saying we're going to that extreme with our kids, but nonetheless, we have to put it in front of them daily. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. So it becomes a natural reaction response from them.
Like, what's if your kids are going down the street to play with a friend, like, what's the direction, you know, or what do you tell them?
There's homework done on my part before my kids go down the street to play with a friend, and that's who is the friend's parents, who's the neighbors,
right?
And that's so often we just say, yeah, go have fun. So the advice I give my kids is, you're going here. It goes back to teaching them what normal looks like.
Okay.
That's the core of it. Here's what normal looks like. The second anything is out of the ordinary with this picture, and I'll explain it. And I'll ask my kids, I'll challenge them. When you are at a friend's house, what should you be seeing? What activity should you be seeing? So they can identify, okay, this is what I should be seeing. And the second something's not in that picture, they can look at it and say, okay, is this bad? Is this good? It's something different. How do I deal with it?
You know, I had a very good friend that was a highway patrol officer, and she told me one time that a lot of abductions of people take place when they are forced or coerced or convinced to get into a vehicle. And what she said to me, and this is going to be a little, you know, ugh, but she said, the thing you have to make sure is that no one ever gets into a vehicle, no matter what, because once they get into the vehicle, more than likely they'll never make it out alive. And so how you can, you know, teach your children, no matter what somebody holds out, candy, a puppy, you know, no matter what they do, they come and say, well, your mom told me to come pick you up. I mean, how do you teach your kids to never, ever, 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 ever get into somebody's car?
That's a great point, because there are circumstances. I mean, every school, when you sign your kids up for school, they say, please put an emergency contact or someone who's able to pick up your kids. I guarantee that, and this is no fault to them, but the young school teacher who's sitting at the curb letting kids get in the cars, they do not know every single car and every single parent. They just don't. So my kids know, and it goes back to in that, you know, that day, you will know who's going to pick you up at the end of the day. You will know if it's not me. So talking them through that, but getting into the car and never seeing them again. The point of Project Taken is to prevent all of that from happening first.
Right.
And then preparing them for that situation. So if they do get in the car, their life isn't over, because what happens is capture shock will take place, and all of a sudden this man or woman is controlling their victim. And putting these fears in them that they can't get away, almost putting them into a place of learned helplessness, to where no matter what they do or say, it's pointless, so I just got to go along with this. When, if you're trained, you can understand that every time I look around, I'm looking for opportunities to escape the situation and when and how. Because you just don't run at an open door. You have to assess. If I run at the open door, what's on the other side of the door?
You know, once in a great while, you'll read a story about a child that's been abducted who got away.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself, was that child trained by their parent? Is that what made them the exception rather than the rule? Is that why that child managed to outsmart their captors and get away?
I would say yes, because even if it's just basic instincts from, maybe not understanding the aspects of captivity, but understanding the aspects of survival. Mm-hmm. Most likely those children had a strong dad,
mm-hmm.
who is that image anyways, and that's what he portrays. So these kids, they have a survival instinct.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do what mom and dad has taught them to do, because kids don't just act out on their own, yeah. unless they're without any influence.
Mm-hmm. If they were never allowed to do that,
yeah.
that's the other thing. You know, if you keep your kids completely captive yourself at your own house, it's highly unlikely they'll have the skills to fight back. Go back to the thing about the car, though, with kids, because what we had always done was, there was like a word in the family. There was kind of like a password, mm-hmm. I guess, if you will. And so if something unforeseen happened and the person who was supposed to pick them up didn't, anybody who actually wound up being the driver, the different carpool or whatever, had the password.
Right.
Is that a useful tool?
Absolutely. But it's not just those individuals, because if I follow your pattern of life, and
sure.
I get to know your family as a cousin. You know, most abductions in America are family related.
Ew,
whether it be an uncle, over 50% of them, whether it be an
creepy.
Uncle or a nephew or an aunt, it doesn't matter. So if they know those things, if they know your pattern of life,
they'll know the password.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But so what's helpful in that is putting other safeguards in place, such
mm-hmm.
as that principal comes to my child to tell my child that this individual will pick you up from school today. Or the teacher. It's someone that they know and trust is going to also help in getting them safe. So it's not just the responsibility of the child to know, oh, yeah, that's cheesecake is the code word for this week. It's other people that are in the school system or in their lives mm-hmm. that they trust that are also safeguarding the child.
That's a cool idea. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about grown-ups. Let's talk a little bit more about grown-ups, and let's talk a little bit about capture. So for the people who might not want to stick around through the news, you should, because Cameron's training involves professional actors. And they literally simulate. This isn't something where you all sit around and just talk about, well, what if this, what if that?
Yeah.
You know, this is, hi, you're going to get captured. Now you're going to figure out how to get out of it. And these people sound like they mean business.
Oh, they do.
The folks you have come in and, like, fake capture them?
Yeah, this is the point where our training exceeds any other training that's out there right now.
Great.
Yeah, because you said on Monday night, you're like, well, I was going to have a bunch of people. What'd you say? You were going to have
them
come.
That was hilarious.
You were going to have them come running in and, you know.
Into the tea party meeting. But he said, I figured about half of you were probably packing. And I might not want to take you by surprise.
I thought about that later. I was like, oh, that would have been a bad deal.
Yeah.
So come back with us in 5 minutes. You're going to listen to some news and find out what's happened in the hour that we've been chatting here with Cameron. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. If you're just tuning in, you're joining your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and our engineer, Bob Martin. And our guests today, Cameron Gamble and Chris Reinhardt from Project Take. And we're talking about safety for your families, your kids going off to college, missionaries going overseas, anybody, anywhere.
And you ought to be glad we're on radio and not TV, because I'm sick and Elizabeth's got a busted foot.
Yeah. we're a great pair today.
but
we're still here.
An hour after the launch of our first show.
Yeah, it's been a...
We're still kicking. Yeah. Oh, except for you're not.
I'm not kicking anymore. Not with this foot, anyway. But it has been a year anniversary show today, and we're really happy to have Cameron and Chris with us.
Okay, so before we go back to abducted people, we ought to swing to Chris. Chris is like, huh? I'm just an observer. What are you saying?
Chris wasn't here to talk.
Okay, swivel over there, Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
What do you need from me?
We want to know. Tell us about your business.
My business?
Do a little commercial for us.
Yeah, I do marketing. I do a lot of...
Is that like consulting, but you're really unemployed? Is that what consulting means?
Yeah, I made my own job.
You kind of have to these days.
All right, so pitch it. What kind of stuff do you market?
We got about 250 clients here locally in Reading, and then we have some national stuff. But basically, we provide top and latest technology marketing tools, and we do it at a lesser cost.
Cool. So like on the web, TV, radio, business cards.
Yeah, a lot of print stuff, but latest technology. A lot of people maybe not have heard of a QR code. That's what's coming.
What is that? Are those little the little blobs that your smartphone can read?
Yeah.
They're not really barcodes. They're like...
They call it a QR code, response code.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
So basically, people are going to be taking a picture of that with their phone, and it's going to go directly to their website. And they can access all the information.
Nice.
Whatever your business is.
So now you did our business cards.
We did your business cards.
And they are fabulous, by the way.
Well, thank you.
We love them.
And now we have 5 zillion of them coming, so now other people will get to see them too.
Exactly.
5,000. So real quickly, how did you team up with Cameron?
We went to a Christian Men in Business luncheon. It's kind of funny how the person and we both got there by the same... people.
Okay. Oh, the same person invited both of you.
Right.
Oh, it's like a blind date.
Steve and Terry, I guess.
Only different.
Something. So Steve and Terry Taft, they're really great people, and they invited me to this luncheon, and we went, and unbeknownst to both of us, we were sitting next to each other, and I saw his card from his old business, and I said, dude, you need to upgrade that.
I got something for you.
So you're basically spearheading the marketing and promotion of Project Taken. I take it.
Well, we talked then.
Don't take it. You're not allowed to. He's got defense for that.
And Cameron said, yeah, I want to get in touch with you. And he went back east and called me a couple weeks later. And we got together at that first sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of basically told me his vision. And he says, I have this vision of what I want to produce, but I don't have a way to make it happen. And I said, well, let's put a game plan together and get it started. And
nice. What a good partnership.
And that's where it took off from.
And, you know, obviously he knows how to market, because as soon as he dropped off our business cards, he said to me, I've got somebody you need to meet. And
look at that.
I just thought it was a great fit.
It is a great fit.
And that's how things springboard. Mm-hmm. And actually, another... misconception out there about the Tea Party movement is that we are, you know, one mindset only, when in fact we collaborate and build coalitions with all kinds of people that have concerns about their country.
Right.
So thank you. Awesome. Thank you. And we have Carl Bott,
who is
on the line, calling into his own station.
He's the owner of the station, and he's on the line. Good morning, Carl.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Here we the people. Happy anniversary to you.
Aww.
We are so proud to have you all on our station.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's a when we started the station, the concept was to bring all sides of our community, give them a voice, and you all have taken that opportunity to grow and strengthen and to bring guests onto your show that are just extraordinary, just like today.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot. We really appreciate the opportunity since neither of us had ever done radio. You're like, just go do it. It'll be fun. You were right. Thanks.
Yeah. And you don't micromanage. That's pretty cool, too.
Well, if I figure it like this is that I would want to have my show the way I want it, and I know everybody that's got shows has got their firm feelings about it, and as long as nobody is attacking people, then everybody has a right for their opinion.
It's
just the fact is that people enjoy it. You know, people love listening to the local radio.
And you know, we're all about educating. I mean, that's the whole point of not only this radio show but the Tea Party movement is to educate people. It's to get information to them in ways that they may not otherwise get it, and to give them information that they won't get from other methods. So,
hey, Carl, I have it on good word on the chat room that you're the man. Right there. It's right there in print. Carl is the man.
So,
You know what? Like I said, I am constantly in awe of the people that host our shows.
Great.
So, well, we're constantly in awe that we're hosting a show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look, you know what? May you have many, 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 many more years of We the People.
Hey, thanks a lot. That's very awesome. We appreciate you getting up on your day off and chatting with us on your radio station.
Thanks, Carl.
I like to think of it as our radio station. So.
Well, thanks. Okay. Well, we're taking care of it while you're gone.
Okay.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks. Say hi to Linda.
I'll do that. Have a great day, and again, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Bye-bye.
So, a little segue there.
That's pretty fun. I didn't know Carl sings.
Yeah.
He's good at it, too, actually.
Yeah, not bad.
Gosh, you know, we better not sing anymore because we kind of suck at it. These guys are like, you what? Yeah, we did.
All the Golden California.
This one song, All the Golden California. Every time he plays it, we like it. And then the microphone was on and we sang one time. And
yeah.
When the boss calls, it's either really good news or really bad news.
He's like, I want to get on the air. Bob's all, uh-oh.
You're going to be congratulated or told this is your last show?
Yeah, on the air.
On the air.
So Cameron, back to you. So we were talking
about... we're not being taken.
Yeah, we're going back to adults. We were talking about kids.
Sorry,
and
we're
going to
act like grown-ups too. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go with it.
I know. So we're talking about adults and misconceptions that if you are any particular type of adult, male, female, a certain age, that nothing can happen.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at just the stalking statistics, the majority of people that are stalked are ages between 24 and 35.
I dated one of those once, by the way, in all seriousness. Yeah.
Yeah,
he contacts me about every, I'm going to say every 10 years.
And that's an
issue.
A guy
pops up out of nowhere. It's like, Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just as prevalent in adults as it is children. But we're more concerned with children because we feel as though they can't help themselves as much as we can. But truth be told, neither can the adults if they don't know what to do.
Yeah. So let's talk about your workshops a little bit.
Okay.
Now, you've got one coming up on the 29th of October.
Right here in Reading, yes.
And paint a picture of what that day would be like if somebody were to attend your workshop.
Well, these are one-day events, and they usually last about 8 to 10 hours. And it's kind of like taking a 3 to 6-inch fire hose and blasting somebody directly in the face with information.
Okay.
There's a lot of content, a lot of information, a lot of how-tos. But what I learned early on in training the military was I can sit up there all day long and speak about all these wonderful things, but unless you have the ability to turn that around and apply it, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. And so what we've done is I've taken this course and I've cut it down into half of half the day is involved with me giving you the how-tos.
Okay.
So here's all the things we have to look at. In terms of being safe, being aware, and then dealing with engaging with these takers if you are abducted. And if you look at the website, you'll see TAKEN is actually an acronym. It's broken down into taker, awareness, kidnap, engagement, negotiate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so those are the
five. I went right for the videos.
Yeah, I know.
Those are actually the five courses that I teach. Those are the
so
titles
of
my
course. So each one of those is a course.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, do it again. TAKEN, awareness.
Taker,
awareness.
Awareness. Negotiate. Excuse me. I didn't even know my own course. Taker, awareness, kidnap.
Kidnap.
Engagement. And negotiate.
Okay.
So taker, we teach you who this person is, what they look like, how they act, when they strike, how they strike. Yeah, the three basic concepts are who are these people? What do they want from us? And how far are they willing to go to get it?
And, you know, we had a... Monday night in the Survival and Preparedness Group, which is led by Mark Kent, who also has Sovereign Minds on Sunday nights
at 6 o'clock on this channel.
Yes, tune in. Someone in that class was talking about years and years and years ago, their mother was attacked in her home. She, I believe, had gone outside, maybe into her garden, left the front door unlocked. Someone had been watching her for quite some time and knew her patterns, snuck into the house while she was out in her own yard. She was sexually assaulted, but somehow she knew how to get into the mind of that individual, and come to find out later that person had killed other women but did not kill her, because she somehow had the wherewithal to talk them down off the ledge.
Right.
And you gave an example of a girl, and that's also, I think, on the website, which was a true story.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break and come back with that story, because that's a good one. I don't want to cut you off on that one.
Sounds good.
We're going to come back with Cameron Gamble from Project Taken, and you're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, happy anniversary to you, too.
Happy anniversary, ladies. You come a long way.
Hey, you can say that again.
Welcome
Elizabeth
back.
Elizabeth hasn't hit her head on the microphone once today. It's almost done.
You know what? I've done enough damage to my body for like a lifetime.
She's in charge of all our physical humor.
Which somehow she can pull off even though it's radio.
I know. Isn't that great? I kind of share with the audience. You know, and then I tell on her. You know,
yeah, always. Nothing secret
part of
here.
Our magic.
Anyway, no. Seriously, congratulations. It's been a great ride for you the last year, and I'm happy to be a part of it now.
Well, we're glad to have you on. I was glad to offload the music.
No kidding. He does a great job.
Yeah, it was fun. But
so, welcome back. We the People Radio. And Cameron, you were going to talk about a video on your website about
the story. I don't think it's a real story.
Oh,
it's not a video. No, it's not a video. It's a case study.
A case study. Yeah. Tell us about that, about a girl who got away.
Yeah, this was
a girl who got away. That's a different story. Don't tell us that story. Your wife doesn't want you to tell
us. No, she does not. 2005, Brian Nichols was put on trial for rape charges from his ex-girlfriend, and this is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Nichols overtakes the guard who was escorting him down to court. He takes her weapon, goes downstairs, makes it to the judge's chambers, walks in behind the judge, shoots the judge, shoots the court reporter, shoots a bailiff, walks out the door, shoots another sheriff that was on his way in. Later that afternoon, he assaulted, I think it was a Fox News anchor in the parking lot, steals his car, goes and breaks into somebody's house who just happened to be a federal agent, shot and killed this guy. And then later that night, takes Ashley Smith, who's walking home from 7-Eleven at 2 o'clock in the morning when she got off her shift from being a waitress, takes her and pushes her into the apartment and holds her hostage for about 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, so not knowing who this individual is...
What he had just done, that's
really irrelevant, because what I teach is taking them at face value. Who's in front of me right now, and how do I respond to this appropriately? Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't take long for her to realize what was going on because he's covered in blood. And
that'd be a clue.
Right.
Yikes.
So those are indicators that, you know, obviously that's an out-of-the-ordinary issue, as well as a gun in your back at 2 o'clock in the morning getting shoved into your apartment.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, she did a phenomenal job of... finding commonalities with this individual, and when I say finding commonalities, it's you know that's negotiating with your hostage taker 101. That's basic stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all the how-tos before that of assessment is what she did right. And she did it very well. She found that this individual was a recovering drug addict. He confessed to her, this is what I just did. This is how I did it. And she was a single mom coming off of drugs, trying to get her life back in order. And she had Rick Warren's A Purpose-Driven Life, the book, in her house. And he had taken a cord from the lamp and tied her up, and she's hogtied. And she says, well, hey, you mind if I just get out of this for a minute? So she's getting out of her personal restraints, showing him, I'm not a threat to you. I won't do anything. I'm not going to run. Here I am, just sitting here. Let's figure this thing out. And she played an active role. And, and the part of the course that I teach when I talk about TAKEN as an acronym, engagement is the part that she did extremely well. And this is how to deal with your environment, how to deal with your kidnapper. And so she starts reading bits and pieces out of this book and eventually gets this...
Like out loud to him.
Out loud to him.
Sure.
And says, listen, I can relate to you, and here's why. I'm a recovering drug addict. I lost my daughter's husband a couple years ago to a sudden death. I've got a lot of baggage as well as you. So I'm not above you in this at all. And so she found these common grounds and convinced this guy to turn his himself into the authorities, as well as, confess his belief and faith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she did a phenomenal job of doing those things. And the reason she did it right is because she assessed it right.
Okay.
From the beginning.
So rather than lay there and scream or struggle and all that kind of stuff, which would have made her victim number, I lost count,
six.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, she
But how many people would naturally do that?
Very few.
Yeah. Now,
very few naturally do that.
She basically befriended him.
She did. Yeah. And again, that's 101 in terms of learning how to be a hostage. And that's really what's put out to the general public. If you're traveling overseas, find these commonalities, find these common grounds. And, that's something I used to teach. And, how do you find common ground with an Al-Qaeda member if you're hostage? There's a few things you can... everyone hates the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Except Judy Maxwell.
No, but it's taking an active role.
Rap music, we all hate that.
Yeah.
So in your workshops, we were talking off air, you actually hire professional actors who are part of that 8 to 10 hour workshop, and tell us about what happens with them and how they participate in this.
Yeah, and it's important to understand where this concept came about. The military does it in terms of role playing. When you are put through that type of training, you have to deal with a hostage taker or a kidnapper or an enemy, and so it's played by other instructors. Well, one of the things that I felt like the military always kind of lacked was the realism. They do a very good job of making it real, but it's just an actor. It's just an instructor. This guy is not. He doesn't understand the concepts of theater and applying himself to that role.
Right.
So I came up with this idea of hiring individuals who are professional actors who can make it so convincing and believable that this side of real captivity, it's the closest thing you're going to get. If they can make you believe that they're really that on the screen, why can't they do it in person? And so what they do is the side of it that I can't do, and that's bring that realism of convincing and believable that I am this individual. But what I bring to them is the instructor side of it, because everything we do with our students has a learning outcome. It has to. If I apply physical force to a student, it's for a purpose. If I say a certain thing, it's for a purpose. It's so that they can apply those concepts that I've taught them already.
So instead of that stupid role-playing that they always make you do that's just all so contrived, let's read a script, and then let's see what we could do differently. oh, my God, I hate that stuff.
Right.
So this is more like big scary person.
It is.
Comes and grabs you.
Yeah, and obviously there are safeguards involved. We're not going to just throw them in there and say, well, good luck. Let's see how this works out.
Yeah.
let's see who makes it off the island.
Sure.
Now, at the end of this course, participants do go home with a manual that they can refer to so that they can pass this on to their kids, right?
That's correct, yes. I want to make certain that they walk away with the concepts I'm teaching them. I don't give them a yellow notepad and say, okay, follow along as quick as you can.
While you're being held captive,
right.
Make sure you take some notes.
Right. And what's important to understand about this role-playing...
Yeah, that kind of takes the fun out of it,
doesn't it?
It
does, doesn't it? The other concept behind it is not everybody gets to go through the role-playing, and not everybody wants to, but everybody gets to be involved in terms of they get to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh,
okay, so
good.
People don't... You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. I thought, how many people are going, I don't want to role-play that. Like, and I want to do the kind where you read it on paper and it's fake. I don't want the simulated reality. Well, they can watch.
Yeah, and oftentimes, that's where most of the learning occurs, is by the individuals in the classroom watching it on the big screen. They get to kind of go... Oh, okay, I see where he could have or she could have applied this technique, or this is where they did, and it didn't quite work out, and here's the reasons why. And we get to really break it down and say, okay, this is what we taught you. How is it looking? Mm-hmm. And break each one of them down bit by bit so they walk away with all questions answered as to how to respond to this individual or these people group.
And then typically do whole families attend these workshops? But you kind of have a guideline on the ages of children being involved, right?
Yeah, and parents' discretion.
Okay.
Younger kids, I would say 12 and under, mm-hmm. just may have a tougher time following along. But what could be very beneficial is for them to sit in on bits and pieces of it, mm-hmm. or the majority of it. But there are some really tough issues we talk about, such as rape or resisting sexual exploitation.
Okay.
And, parents' discretion. But what's helpful is when the parents come and take that and bring it right back to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you really help teach parents how to teach their whole family to be aware and stay safe.
Yes, yes. Okay. And also, I work one-on-one with families as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so they can stop scaring their kids. You know, because there's a real fine line between keeping your kids safe and just scaring them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, everything is look out, look out, look out, look out. Well, pretty soon everything, if you make everything dangerous, then you have no discretion.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
you can't guard against that.
Tell them about your handbook. Tabletop.
Yeah, we have handbooks that individuals can purchase either through the website or at the seminars. But it's one of them is called Family Safety, the Table Talk Discussion. And,
oh, okay.
And it walks through these concepts just specifically
nice.
For the family.
Oh, my
nice.
Sisters are getting those. Somebody said, oh, good, a manual. This is on the chat. A manual. Wait now while I check the manual on what to do now. But it's okay. I told them it's for the captor. You're supposed to have it with you. You give it to the guy who kidnaps you and he can figure out how to stop doing that.
Yeah, and the manual, what needs to be understood about the manual, even the handbooks, this isn't a, hold on, let me pull this out of my back pocket while I'm resisting this exploitation.
Yeah.
This is a refresher, go back to this as often as you can, but what I teach in the course are these bold-faced procedures that these individuals reach in their tool belt that's in the back of their mind or the front of their mind, and they say, yep, this is how I respond to this. I identify it mm-hmm. as being this, this is what I was taught, this is how I do it. They don't have to go reference the appendix of paragraph 3-9.
Hold on. If he's standing with his right foot forward, I'm... Because, you know, honestly, all joking aside, that's how some of those stupid self-defense classes are. Well, now let's see. If the guy puts his right hand on your left shoulder, it's like playing Twister.
Right.
I realize you're too young for that, but all the people on the radio that are like, I remember that. You know, if his right hand is on your left shoulder, then you're supposed to pivot to your right. And I
want to play Twister with my crutches.
It was hilarious. It looked like social dancing in eighth grade. You know,
yeah.
It was like, what? You do what? That's never going to work.
No.
So if someone wants to find out more information about the workshop coming up on the 29th, where do they go to get that information?
They can go to projecttaken.com.
Okay.
And the registration is open right now.
Okay.
As well as, let me put this out, membership. If you want to become a member of Project Taken, it's free.
Okay.
And you get tip of the week from me.
Oh, yeah,
as well
great.
As other information that you just wouldn't be privy to if you weren't a member. So go sign up. It's only beneficial. And weekly you'll get an email with as much content as I can give people because the point of this is to train them, is to educate them. It's not to make our website difficult or uneducating. We want them to be able to go to this and say, okay, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to go to this area and find out what it is. And let us teach you. Let us become, like I said in the video, the educators for the American family.
Right. Okay.
When we come back, we have a hot tip for you, too, but we're not telling you until after the commercial. So we have 2 minutes to thank our advertisers. Grab a cup of coffee, come back. We've got a half hour with Cameron Gamble from Project Taken. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460. The home of free fire media.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side.
The hotline is open at KCNR 605-4567.
I shot the sheriff.
Give us a call, 605-4567. We're in the last half hour of We the People Radio, talking to Cameron Gamble of Project Taken.
And here is your hot tip, as promised. Tell him, Cameron, tell him.
Well, this is new. Project Taken is new to the West Coast. We started up on the East Coast more as a let's get this thing started, see how it feels, see what we can accomplish. But my wife and I just moved home and back to the Reading area, and this is where we want to start it. This is where we want to make the greatest impact, right here in our hometown. And the great thing about it is new, and we're not nationwide yet. We will be. But right now, people have the ability to call me.
Yeah, this is the
questions.
Time to jump on board, folks.
Yeah, let me educate you now on this level before, you know, I'd like to be busy.
Because right now, are you just a consultant?
And I know that Monday night when you opened up the floor for people to jump onto the October 29th workshop, there was quite a list going around, so that's going to fill up fast. How many openings do you have?
We have 94 openings left.
Okay.
And they're going to go quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you were talking to us a little bit about when you work one-on-one with families. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, the concept behind it is taking
That's cool.
a family.
Yeah.
It's kind of a week-long process, but sitting down with a family and saying, okay, let's look at your pattern of life. And that's kind of done at the end of the week. But what I've done beforehand is we actually stalk the family. Mm-hmm. My role players come up, myself, and we follow them.
And the family knows this, right?
Before you sit down with them, right?
They hire us out.
Okay, and then they just trust that you're going to do what you need to do to find out how to help them. Okay.
Right, and we kind of just kind of put it off.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll
meet with you in a week.
Sure. And we follow every single family member, and we come back after the end of the week, and we say, this is where you're most vulnerable. Now let's fix it.
Oh, that's great.
Here's all the things that you guys did that are leaving yourself vulnerable to either attack or lack of accountability with each other, whatever it is. We come back, we put it all together, and we say, now let's fix it. And then we follow them again, not necessarily for a week, maybe for a couple of days, and we demonstrate, okay, this is what you've done right, and this is what you're still needing a little bit more work on.
Well, you know, I think about my brother and sister-in-law. They have three little girls, and, you know, you've got two people working full-time. You've got three little kids, two different schools to take them to. I mean, getting up in the morning and getting out of the house every day, I mean, it's all you can do to be on time. Who can possibly pay attention to what's going on around them in the neighborhood? But somebody could be watching them all along, and they wouldn't know it.
Right. Right. And again, it's identifying what's normal, what ordinary looks like. And it's going to be different for every family. But for my family, I know what ordinary looks like. So when something is out of place, we identify it quickly. It's the father's responsibility, I think. And if that piece is missing out of your family, then it's the mother's responsibility to assess your family. And I will teach the fathers and the mothers how to continue this training with their family and continue to point out any vulnerabilities they have.
Okay.
That's pretty fun.
That sounds awesome.
Because nothing really does that. I mean, you talk about it and then, you know, there's a lot going on. You go home and you've got to build your California mission that week, you know, because they're in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And the whole family goes on hold until you get done using all the sugar cubes in your town. And, you know, they're not looking at who's safe and who's not.
No,
so there's a lot happening.
Trying to put dinner on the table, get the kids in the bath and get them to bed on time and... I mean, who's got time?
It's nice to know some things haven't changed. That's exactly what I was doing in fourth grade 40 years ago.
Well, I wasn't because I lived in Connecticut. And we didn't care about California missions, but I moved out here and inherited two little kids. And it's like, man, how many sugar cubes are we going to use?
You're kidding. They didn't teach California history in Connecticut?
No. You know, nobody cared. We learned Revolutionary War stuff, though. Guess you guys kind of sidestepped that here.
I don't think that's important.
It was so much easier.
We could
go to all their houses. They were right there. But, okay, so... For a family, if somebody's going, yeah, but this is probably like $1 million, you know, we're not rich, we can't do this. So what do you say to that? Since I've exaggerated it to the point where you could say almost anything.
Let's put a price tag on our family safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You can.
Well, I know the workshop is $99 mm-hmm. per person on the 29th, and if a couple of parents could find grandma and grandpa to watch the kids for the day for $200, they can learn how to go home and keep their family safe right. and aware. So really, $200 is nothing.
And I would imagine if you're going to do a family, stalking. I think a family stalking is much more fun than a family training. Because that sounds so innocuous. Please stalk my family. If you're going to do something like that, I would imagine you work it out with the family.
Yes.
I mean, if they have one kid, five kids, if they're traveling all over town, if
so
they're
it's
in college,
a custom fit.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is, and that's any aspect of our training is custom fit. Even when you're in 100 student group, mm-hmm. I still custom fit it for the individual because I make sure that every individual walks away confident. And if that means that student number 36 is having a more difficult time understanding the concepts, I'll spend the extra time to work with student number 36.
Right, right. Okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Okay.
So, and then periodically you go back and you work with the SEALs.
I do, yes.
And, I would imagine you're looking for other partnership activities through other things. Like we were talking about my brother's business. He mm-hmm. does things overseas. So he helps companies figure out how to assess their risk against things like this. But I've been talking to him because I thought, if he could help the employees of those companies mm-hmm. be safer, not only is their building safe, but now their people are safe.
Yeah, and especially individuals that are in the oil industry and or mining industry, mm-hmm. It's also going to help them. I spoke with an individual on the East Coast, and he said, the reason I want your training is because now I can bid on jobs that are more dangerous for my people and get more work. So there's this concept behind if my people are trained and have the ability to go into wherever, mm-hmm. Columbia, then all of a sudden this guy, he makes a profit from it, from receiving my training. So that's the great turnaround from it as well.
Yeah.
For businesses.
Yeah. So, from little elementary school kids that are walking down the street to school or people that are doing somewhat, maybe their job isn't dangerous, but the location is.
Yeah.
And, frankly, people who work in the city or who travel back and forth, we were just talking about San Francisco. Now you can go naked. Do you mm-hmm. guys have a training for that? How you defend yourself from that?
Yeah, it's called avoidance.
It's a new acronym.
Just say no.
You kind of put a thought in my head, not with the nudists, but with the cities.
That's not good. I'm sorry.
We have no idea. Just, mm-hmm. We talk about statistics early on, but the number one country in the world for taking hostages or kidnapping, I'm sure you all could guess what the number one country in the world is. Mexico.
Yeah. And they're really close to us.
They're pretty close to us. I mean, most of Southern California is now northern Mexico, but number one city in the world is Mexico City.
Yeah.
Mm. Number two city in the world is where?
I'm going to say Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot
Arizona.
About that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, Arizona. And so we have surpassed, as a nation, Colombia. We now have more kidnapping instances in America than we do in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
and
problem.
And these people, it's not like, I think most people think, well, getting kidnapped, you've either got to be a dope and you're walking around, late at night in a scary neighborhood, or you're the child of a zillionaire, or you run some big company. I think people think about those folks that get kidnapped for like a ransom thing.
Yeah, that's exactly how Hollywood portrays it, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. But that's what percent? Like,
oh my goodness,
barely any. Like,
and those are the percentages that we do get to read about in the news. Those are the ones that make it to the news.
Yeah, exactly.
When's the last time you saw, no offense, but an ugly little kid?
on
a show like CNN.
Right.
You don't see that.
No.
No, you see the cute little blonde-haired girl who's been abducted. And so the great part about this training is we understand that concept. We understand that it doesn't just happen to them. It happens to anybody. And the other thing is this isn't just how to handle a kidnapping situation or avoid a kidnapping situation. This is how to avoid abusive relationships, how to avoid stalking, how to it applies to every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. Just being safer and being aware. You'll mm-hmm. be amazed at what else you see. I mean, to the point you could be a better driver because you're more aware.
Yeah.
My gosh, we should force everyone to take this. Let's make a... Okay, no. If
there you go.
I just pulled my headphones off, folks, just in case you were wondering what we were laughing at.
Those guys thought I was kidding.
I have witnesses. I like to provide comedy relief.
And I have always been a big fan of the Three Stooges, so you are my perfect foil.
I'm all three.
Wow, how can you turn a kidnapping show into comedy? Well, so, oh no, are they ripping us on the chat room? Oh no, they thought Obama was been abducted. Uh-oh. We probably
says, I think Obama has abducted America.
I think you need to play Attack Watch. Bob doesn't have that queued up. Pause. Yeah. Brief commercial. No.
Yes, we'll get Attack Watch,
we'll get Attack Watch
up and running
up
shortly
yet.
Here. Ever vigilant.
So now we're just goofing off.
Yeah.
We've gotten completely off track.
We did.
Okay, let's go back. Do you know the stats between men and women? Who has more difficulty out there? I mean, we would all think it would be women, but whether they get kidnapped or, you know, all that, do people stalk men?
Oh, my goodness. It's 50-50 just about.
Really?
Oh, my goodness,
people
yes.
stalk men, too?
Yes.
So why are they stalking men? For the same reasons they stalk women? Is it women stalking men? It's control, right?
It is control. It's men and women stalking. I mean, the stalker is anybody, but the stalkee is 50-50.
Wow.
It really is.
Yeah. That's wild. Any age groups?
Like the abduction, it's ages 18 to 35 for stalking.
Okay. Huh. So with Aaron and I, we're pretty much out of danger.
Yeah. I just cough on them. I got a cold, and you got crutches, and
we're not very attractive.
Nah, we're not really.
On the other hand, you're both on the radio, so that increases your likelihood of being stalked.
Except that nobody knows what we look like exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Unless we come out of KCNR at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, and then they go, hey, it must be them.
Trust me, from my years of experience in this business, there are obsessive listeners out there. They will stalk DJs, whether they know what they look like or not.
His name is Bob. Bob Martin drives a van. We're going to deflect it onto you, Bob.
It's all in the sexy voice.
There you go. Well, nice job, Bob.
Let's talk about stalking for just a second and just how sick it is. Mm-hmm. And here's why. I mean, we're talking about physical stalking.
Yeah.
Just let's look at Facebook stalking. How fair is it that someone gets to get onto Facebook and look at my children and enjoy that?
Yeah.
It's wrong on every level.
Do you put your stuff on Facebook?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I don't think parents should put their kids on Facebook. I just think that's bad.
I mean, there are certainly filters, but Facebook seems to be very good at changing everything every day. And as a matter of fact, Facebook, just yesterday I saw, they've just been accused of stalking 750 million users. They get to watch these individuals, everything that they do. They're pulling statistics from...
Yeah, even when you log off of Facebook.
Oh, that's right. I read about that. Yeah, they were on people even though... That's a whole other show.
That brings me to a question, and maybe we can talk about this after the break, but...
I forgot about that.
With what you teach, how does that integrate into cyber stalking?
Oh, it does, because we have to watch what our children are doing online, as well as our spouses, and it's not that they're doing anything intentionally. Mm-hmm. It's the unintentional things that take place online that people are much better at being online than we are. And they know exactly how to find us and where to look for us.
Okay.
And, of course, our chat room's gone off the rails. Men stalking men, and then there's some comment about silk, please. If you want to have a good time, you should go to wethepeopleradio.us. You ought to click the listen button. Join the chat room. It's usually pretty fun. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes here on KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Red lights are flashing around me.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Load up, load up, load up, your rubber bullets. Load up, load up, load up, your rubber bullets.
I love to hear those convicts scream. It's a shame we slugs ain't free.
But we can't have dancing at the low.
Baker and his men made a beeline for the jail. And for miles around, you could hear the sirens wail.
So what a way to wrap up a great two-hour anniversary show with music by Bob.
So what was that? There was Rubber Bullets about what?
Rubber Bullets by 10cc. I said it was kind of like if the Beach Boys had recorded Elvis's Jailhouse Rock.
On crack, he said. Yes. Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure what we were going to get.
Okay, that was fun.
The opening line there was, I love to hear those convicts squeal. It's a shame these slugs aren't real. Hard to understand all of the words.
Thanks for clearing that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you hate to miss good lyrics. Such a waste.
So Cameron Gamble, last 10 minutes. What do you want everybody to know?
Well, I think the most important thing for people to know is that they have access to this, and there's really no excuse at this point, especially the listeners. There's no excuse not to get yourself involved with this program and get your family educated.
Right.
That's number one. Number two is, and it kind of goes with number one, acknowledging that there's an issue.
Yeah.
Because we want to put the blinders on and say, well, this just happens to other people when...
Oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't
always... live in the city. It only happens in the city.
Right. Right,
well, in Redding, California, you'll find something on the news every single day.
Well, yeah, I mean, just look at, I think it was Raley's this past week. One guy had his McDonald's stolen from him.
At gunpoint.
And then the other Raley's employee had his wallet stolen at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Same guy. Oh, same guy. Okay.
It was the same guy. Yeah. He held up two people at gunpoint on Lake Boulevard.
A wallet? And McDonald's. Interesting options.
An employee, an 18-year-old kid at Raley's, and somebody walking down the street eating his lunch.
Wow.
So, every day there's something in Reading.
It is. And when you come to this course, what you start to see is just how much you interact with these threats and how much your children interact with these threats. Children interact with these threats on a daily basis. Adults, maybe not nearly as much as the kids, but it happens on a daily basis.
And parents doing the looking out for the kids is really inefficient.
If kids
don't know how to look out for themselves.
Yeah, you got to teach them.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the biggest thing that you see? You're out with your family, and things that you see people do with their kids that you're like, please stop doing that.
Leaving them alone. There's a case study on the website, projecttaken.com. If you go there, you'll see this case study that I was sitting in a parking lot in Wilmington, North Carolina, and watched this kid for almost 2 hours sit on a bench by himself.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Yeah. That is where I saw that on your website.
It was.
Projecttaken.com.
Yep. And I see that all the time. Children left unattended. Mm-hmm. And it's the sickest feeling. That's what amazes me. It's the sickest feeling anybody who's ever had a child lost for a half a second in the mall.
I remember real quickly, a few years ago, I was over in the Westwood Manor area visiting a friend, driving home. It was 9 o'clock at night, summer, dark. And I'm pulling out of that subdivision, and I see a little girl. No older than 10, maybe a little bit younger, walking down the street. And I thought, what the heck? Why is a little girl walking down the street at 9 o'clock at night in this area? So I pulled back in, and I stopped my car, and I got out of my car, and I knew enough not to try to get her to get into my car. But I
good thing.
But I said to her, God, I said, hey, sweetie, are you lost? Are you okay? How come you're out here by yourself? Well, she'd had a fight with her parents. And so she left her house and, just took off. And she was trying to get back home. And so right at that point, I'm trying to figure out what to do because I'm thinking, well, don't ever teach a kid to get into anybody's car, whether it's a woman or a man. So that's not an option. But I can't drive away and leave her there. That's not an option. And about the time that I formulated the idea that I would ask her to continue to walk home and I would just follow her in my car to make sure she got there, her parents showed up, and they were beside themselves. They were hysterical. But they had had a fight, and she took off. And it just, ugh.
Pretty common.
I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, the thing to do in that situation, obviously, is you assess, this could be perceived as me trying to pick up the child. That's why we have this wonderful thing called 911.
Yeah.
It's their responsibility. Get here. There's a kid left unattended. It's their responsibility. Yeah. And then deal with the parents accordingly.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So, okay, second thing, kids being left by themselves. What's the thing you see grown-ups do, men or women, that's just totally dopey?
Getting in a rush. You get in a rush, you lose awareness. You lose what's really going on around you.
I forgot about that. That's right. That's what you said. Don't be in a hurry. I'm always
in a hurry. Yeah, and also the mindset with every hostage that's ever been taken hostage, the mindset is this won't happen to me. And it does. Yeah. So getting out of the mindset of this can happen to me, and I'm going to do everything I can to prevent these types of things from happening to me and protect my family.
And real quickly, you had mentioned to us before that very often families are watched for a significant period of time so that people that are stalking them know what their habits are.
Oh, of course.
Can you talk about that just a tiny bit?
Yeah, it starts with undue attention. I mean, what draws these individuals that are either sick or it's just not the sickos that take these kids or these people. It's the ordinary people as well. It's when we give them a reason to, and it's not that doesn't justify what they're doing, but why give them a reason to do or look?
Right.
And so when a family draws undue attention, it could be because they are in a rush and it's observed that they don't pay attention to life, mm-hmm. or because it's the way their kids are dressed or the way their wife is dressed or...
That's not placing blame. That's just a reality.
And it's the things that need to be identified. And also, one of the big things that I see is if you can observe children disrespecting their parents in public, that's an opportunity. Because if I can find a kid who doesn't, the little girl walking down the street, I'm already mad at my parents, that's vulnerability at its finest.
Yeah,
I'm going to capitalize on that. I'm going to find a way to get to those kids if that's the mentality that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never thought about that.
Sure.
And
because the abductor could befriend him and say, yeah, your parents are mean, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what about, my mom's thing was like, I mean, I had friends who lived two doors down. I lived in Connecticut. I mean, our houses were almost touching, and I was, 12, 13, 14 years old. Well, I'd go over there all the time. But as soon as it was dark, my mom's like, honey, I'm going to watch you. Go over there. Nothing good happens at night.
It happens during the day, too,
That was her whole thing. Nothing good happens at night. But this isn't just a nighttime thing.
No, it's a relay race. And you hand off, I'm not going to say your kids are batons, but you should have that much accountability of your children to where you hand them off to the next safest thing, the thing that you trust.
Yeah.
And to let them just go and have no safety nets, that's an issue.
And what about the stats between daytime and nighttime?
No, it's irrelevant.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Completely
irrelevant. Doesn't really matter.
I'm calling my mom when we get out of here.
Yeah.
Saying, Mom, you know what? You were wrong.
Look at the two Chico State students last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was daytime.
Daytime.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So bad people are all over the place.
Because as a general rule, as Americans, we tend to think that we're safe and we don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could get a lot done if we and helping other people. I would imagine when people get done with this, they wise up their friends.
Right.
Not just their family, but they wise up their friends, their workmates, all that kind of stuff.
So speaking of which, how can people help you send this project sailing?
Well, if you believe in it, get behind it
and
do what you two have done, which has been tremendous. Get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a voice in the community, make it be known.
Right.
But every individual in the community speaks to somebody. Tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drive people to the website. Let them become members so they can get involved and be educated.
So, projecttaken.com. The next training is October 29th here in Reading.
Here in Reading. And next week we'll announce the venue.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And that will be on your website
as well.
Be.
Yes, it will.
So they'll be able to find out where to go and they can sign up on the website.
On the website. And also they can follow us on Facebook. We have a Project Taken Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
So there are people out there that are going, I don't have any of that stuff.
Got a phone number?
Got a choice?
Yes, options? Phone number. Yeah, 619-500-2124.
Say that again?
619-500-2124.
Okay.
Nice. We'll
and
post
we,
that.
And we'll have that on We the People
Radio.
We'll
put it on the website.
.us.
Kidding. All right. You have been listening to the anniversary program, actually, of We the People Radio.
And special thanks to Chris and Cameron.
Absolutely. For
Thank
the business
you,
cards and the info. And if you've got programs and things that you'd like us to air, you need to call us. Get on WeThePeopleRadio.us and send us your ideas and suggestions.
Have a great weekend.
See you
a great
next week.
And we'll talk to you soon.
There's a job to be done.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Red.